Colette Thomas, and this is my podcast, Watching with Friends. Every week, we watch and discuss a show or movie, and I invite a friend or two to join in.
Today, Sarah and I will be discussing the 2005 Disney Channel original movie, The Kim Possible Movie, So the Drama. Hey, no, 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 no.
Dr. Draken has been developing a new and elaborate master plan to take over the world that baffles everyone, even his sidekick, Shiago. Part of the plan is to steal a toy design from Japanese developer Nakasumi. Kim Possible realizes that her crime-fighting lifestyle has left her with only Ron as a potential date for her junior prom. Ron introduces Kim to Eric, a new student, and they become a couple, causing a jealous Ron to find himself edged out of Kim's life. Ron also begins to notice numerous annoying changes at Bueno Nacho, his favorite fast food chain. Draken kidnaps Kim's father, who possesses the most advanced cybertronic technology in existence, which can fix, modify, or enlarge any machine. Kim and Ron rescue Dr. Possible, unaware that Draken has already obtained his knowledge in cybertronics by tapping his brain. Bueno Nacho introduces their first kitty meal, which comes with a toy robot figure called Little Diablos, based off Nakasumi's design, that become vastly popular worldwide. Kim realizes Ron's growing unhappiness and talks with him, promising that her new relationship with Eric will not affect their friendship. While Kim and Eric attend prom together, Ron is depressed and hanging out with Bueno Nacho. He makes a call complaining to the new owner, who is revealed to be Draken. Lars, Bueno Nacho's new manager and one of Draken's goons, activates the Diablo army of toys, which pursues Ron and his pet mole rat Rufus. Escaping the Diablos, Ron bursts into prom to warn Kim about the toys. Kim contacts her assistant Wade, who confirms that the Diablos are made from Dr. Possible's technology. In retaliation, Draken attacks Middleton, transforming toys into large, deadly robots with a command signal at Bueno Nacho. With help from the Possible family, Kim and Ron destroy the command signal, disabling the Diablos. Draken shows Kim that Shiago has kidnapped Eric after she left the prom, and demands her surrender in exchange for Eric's safety. Kim dons a new experimental battle suit and heads with Ron Rufus to Bueno Nacho headquarters, where Draken and his forces are operating from. Kim fights and defeats Shiago before reuniting with Eric, who is revealed to be a synthezone made by Draken to distract her from his plans. He knocks Kim unconscious, and she's captured along with Ron. At midnight, Draken launches a worldwide attack with the giant Diablo robots. Kim admits defeat and gives up, but Ron encourages her by finally confessing his feelings for her, which she accepts. Rufus then helps them escape, and they head to Bueno Nacho's roof to destroy the tower controlling the Diablos with EMP. Shiago and Eric intervene, but Kim fires the EMP at the tower. Eric catches it just in time, but Rufus destroys him by puncturing his foot and draining all cyber liquid and making him drop the EMP on the tower, shutting down all the robots and returning them to normal size. Draken, Shiago, and their henchmen are arrested, and Kim and Ron are hailed as heroes for saving the world once again. They return to prom holding hands, where students cheer them as they dance and share their first real kiss. After this brief break, we will be back with Sarah to discuss the movie. So, Kim Possible, So the Drama.
Yes.
When did this movie come out?
I have the list in front of me.
2005.
Yes, 2005. So we were 15.
Oh my god. Don't lie, I totally watched the show too. I was hooked. I loved Kim Possible. I loved Kim Possible. So like when this movie came out, I was like, hell yes.
So I also think it is one of those movies where you kind of had to know the show.
Yes.
And this was actually supposed to be the finale for the show.
Oh yeah. No, I remember reading
about that. But because there was so much love for this movie, they ended up doing one more season.
And I think they did another movie within that season too, I believe. Because I believe there's two animated Kim Possible movies. I could be wrong, but I'm actually...
I'm not sure. It's not on the official list.
Oh, so maybe not. Maybe I just like...
It might have just been an hour-long finale.
Yeah.
But yes, so this movie saved the show for one final season.
Yeah. Which sometimes happens with a lot. You get like, they're like, oh, we're going to do a finale for the movie. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, I love the movie so much that they, you know, they're able to go off of it.
Yeah, I found myself like trying to remember things and... I don't remember a lot of Kim Possible, but I also remember a lot. Like, doesn't the bad guy, what's his name?
Draken?
Dr. Draken, yes.
Dr. Draken.
I'm pretty sure he had a son at one point.
No, I think it was, he has a daughter. There's another doctor. There's another, like, millionaire evil guy who has a son. Okay,
that's what I was thinking of. Yes.
He's stupid. The son is, like, stupid. It's like, okay. It's another evil villain in the show has a son who's, like, really ripped in his tiny head. Yeah.
Okay. I was looking for him, too, and I was like, wait a second.
Draken has a daughter that I think we... Because we only find out about her, I think, in the last season. But it's not like she doesn't really play an important role. She ends up becoming an evil villain, too. But
so yeah, I do have to say, this is probably my favorite Draken plot to take over the world.
Oh, yeah. Because it was more like one of his more successful ventures.
Brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, okay, yes, let's make a bunch of kids fall in love with these little toys that they get with these kids' meals so that they're everywhere and have them take over the world. It's quite brilliant. Like, even Chiago is just like, oh my god, you actually thought of something smart.
It was a surprising one. It was a good one. And I also, too, like how you finally get to see the jealousy in Ron about how, like, because you always, like, in the shows, you were always, like, you could feel that tension, like, they're friends, but, like, one likes the other person, but then, like, you really get that, like, how Ron gets really jealous, and you finally see that, like, awesome, perfect relationship.
Yeah.
And they finally kiss.
Well, I just love that the evil cheerleader, she's just like, oh my god, how awkward is that? And everyone's like, finally. And
I know, everyone's like, finally.
Just like, oh my god.
It's like, we totally knew it.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just saying, no, I've always liked Kim Possible, except the live action one that they just released that we shall not talk about because it's terrible.
Well, we're gonna talk about it at some point because it is on the list.
It's a DCOM. it might break our poor
millennial hearts.
Yes, it's just like I just felt that like they could have done a better job. Because this was such like a good series, because you're like a girl recruited by the CIA. It's CIA, right?
I actually don't know, but I'm sorry. Can we talk about her family? Because her mom is this badass doctor,
mm-hmm. Her dad's a scientist.
Her dad's a, like, genius. Yep. The twins are going to end up, they're like the, I think they're honestly Disney's response to the Weasley twins. Because they're brilliant. They're
very troublesome. Yeah, her mom's like a heart surgeon or some kind of like awesome doctor. Her dad's literally a rocket scientist. And then she's got the two brothers who, like, you know, are going to, like, rule the world one day. You just see them and you're like, they're gonna rule the world. It's going to happen. But I love her brothers, too, because, like, they'll do stuff and they're like, it's not rocket science. And it's like, oh, such a dig at their dad. It's so funny.
I just really liked the family dynamic in this one because we didn't see a lot of them in the show. No. From what I recall.
They were there, but they weren't like a huge part. Like, they weren't a huge, huge part, like the as big a part in the movie as they were in the movie. But yeah, no, I love it. But yeah, no. Their mom is fucking awesome. her whole family. And they're like totally okay with just like her as a teenager, just like
as a spy. Like, I totally forgot she wasn't hiding it from them.
I think at one point they discover it. I can't remember exactly, but like, I think at one point they discover it in the
it's been in the show.
I know, it's been so long. But then it's just like, she's out and they're like, yeah, it's okay, you can go out at like midnight. And you're like, what parent, like, what parent's okay with them doing this?
I mean, we got to talk about some other favorites. So we've got Shiago, who has always been one of my favorites.
Yeah.
She's
like so down to earth too. So it's like, all right, I get it.
Then we have Wade, who's the guy in the chair. At any time I think of whenever someone brings it up in another superhero movie, I always think of Wade.
Yep. Wade is like awesome though. He's always like that super sidekick that you're like, mm-hmm. Yep, that makes sense.
And then Ron, but we've kind of already talked about him, but we got to talk about, oh God, Rufus. Why did I just forget Rufus's name for a second?
I mean, come on.
Rufus made me want a naked mall rat.
And they're like so disgusting, but you're just like, he made having a naked mole rat cool.
Did you know that naked mole rats have hair on the insides of their mouths?
Hair on the inside of their mouth?
Yeah.
Ew, that's gross. Ugh.
I just remember because when Kim Possible first came out, I think we had a field trip or something where we went to Roger Williams.
Yeah.
And they had the naked mall rats. And I was just like,
oh God. Yeah, because we're like, it's Rufus. But like, he makes it cool. And just the fact that they eat so much crap. Like, where did they usually
eat? Can we talk about
Bueno Nacho?
Can we talk about that? Because the first time, like, I remembered it, but the first thing that popped into my mind when it showed up, have you seen the Vine with the free shivakadu?
Yes.
This is all I could hear in my head. I'm just like, free shivakadu! But like I said, it's kind of the best plot device for a villain to corporately take over this business.
Uh-huh.
And then make the kids' meals with the toys so that everybody wants them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it's definitely going to age us a bit when I bring this up, but I heard it on another podcast, and it brought up some memories. Remember when McDonald's used to pretty much just advertise the toys?
Yeah.
Yep. So the new movie was coming out, whatever it was partnered with, and so they advertised to collect all the toys.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that anymore. They've been pretty much shot down.
Yeah.
Because it's all about healthier eating. But still, like, thinking back, they were still doing it back in 2005. So it makes perfect sense.
And I remember it too, because it was like, it was a big thing. It was always like, you know, oh, it would be, excuse me, I got the hiccups. You know, you go and get all the Disney, all the Disney ones for the new movie coming out, and it would be awesome.
Because, like, I had the Pocahontas cups.
Yep.
I think I had getting the Burger King Hercules plates. I don't remember, though.
I have the Hercules plates. But they're buried away.
It's really brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense, like, the whole take over the world. Because, like, you think about it, you amass all this stuff, and it's just, like, giving it – everybody wants it. You make it good enough that everybody wants. They're going to – you know, they're going to look into it.
Exactly.
Easiest way to take over the world.
Exactly. Consumers. Hey.
Yeah, right.
But, like, even thinking about that this was going to be the send-off for the show.
Mm-hmm.
It came to great conclusions.
It really did. Like, it kind of wrapped up the whole Shigo and Draken dynamic.
Didn't they get together on the show in that last season? I can't remember that. I remember, but I don't.
I feel like they do, but I also feel like they don't. But
on a side episode, Nicolette and Sarah rewatch Kim Possible.
Yeah, right.
But like, I mean, everything wraps up really nice. You have Monique has a happy ending. Because we forgot to talk about Monique, who I loved when they added her to the show. Because that also brought up the jealousy plot with Ron.
Yeah, because they had a she was jealous about Kim because she liked Ron.
No. What universe are you living in? Monique came in, was the new girl, became friends with Kim, took away Ron's best friend.
Yeah, and Ron was
jealous. So that was jealousy thing. So then we have romantic jealousy in this. Mm-hmm.
So I don't, there's a lot of jealousy, and it's kind of like, as you see Ron's jealousy, romantic jealousy, even the jealousy he has between Kim and Monique, you kind of see how how almost like I got mad at Kim for a little bit because of the way she treated Ron. It was like sometimes she didn't treat him like a friend, and he was just like, you know, his sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like she didn't really respect him. And you're like, but look what he's doing for you. Like, yes, he kind of screws up missions from time to time, but like,
oh my God, when he's gambling.
Yeah. And like, he also like saves her sometimes too. Mm. So it's kind of like, you know, yeah, he could be a total screw-up, but he also has, like, really good ideas that, like, help out the mission.
But overall, I mean, I think it, for what it was supposed to be, mm-hmm. as a send-off for the show, I think it was really good. It accomplished tying up all those loose ends, things that they didn't bring up in this movie, I think were tied up nicely.
Yeah, I agree with you, because like I think there are a lot of shows that like have a season finale that like you're just like that just like or shows that just end, like it's not a Disney show, but was one of my favorite shows. It was a show called Timeless, and it was such a good show if you liked history. But anyway, they had two seasons, but then they ended it so abruptly that they had come out a little later with like a 2-hour series finale. And and that wrapped it up really well. But there are those shows that just kind of like end and you're like, but wait, what, how can you do this? Like the new Veronica Mars season, they kind of did the same thing where they had three seasons. It was still super popular. So then they made a movie, which kind of like reopened old wounds, started like it could have another series. And then they had a a series after that that Hulu made. But the way they ended it, A, they killed off one of the main characters who was much loved. And there were so many, like, open-ended questions. You're just like, but what? And you're just like, you know no one's going to watch it now because they killed off one of the main characters so brutally, mind you. That it's just like... Things, and I understand things don't get picked up, so they kind of end it, but like it's the not knowing and the way they wrap this up, even if it was a season finale or a series, meant to be a series finale, they did such a great job.
Yeah.
But, and then they brought it back again.
But. So, do you have anything to add? Because we've pretty much talked about everything I was thinking.
Yeah, no, about this one. I think we did everything.
It's one of those hard ones because you're also thinking about the show itself.
Right. And which is like a totally different, like different thing, and there's so much more added to the show than added to the movie, and so bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm good. I talked about everything, I think.
All right. So with that being said, what is your rating?
Definitely a 9.
Really?
Yeah.
See,
I want to change that to an 8. I liked it as an 8. Because I feel like there's other movies coming up that I'm going to like a lot better. And, like, I can't tie them. So.
Yeah, you can. You got a couple 10s so far.
Yeah. But I think it's an 8.
I'm going to give it a 7.
A what?
A 7.
A 7?
Yeah. Yes. There's just certain animation techniques that I saw and I was just like, oh, wait a second. Because it kind of disjointed. But that's a whole just me noticing, oh, they use a completely different animation style. That's all computer generated, where this looks more freehand and
those kind of things.
Just whenever it's animation, I don't appreciate it.
Yeah.
Do one or the other. Do not mix.
Yeah, right.
Not in my house.
Yeah, you can't do both. But yeah, it's, and I mean, a lot of it too has to do with it being part of when they were doing it.
Right. My goodness, I had such a great time talking about Kim Possible and thinking about probably one of my favorite shows of all time when I was growing up. So, our next episode is going to be Get a Clue, which I remember so fondly, and I'm very excited to get into it. So, if you feel like joining in the conversation, you can follow us on Instagram, which is Watching With Friends, or join the Facebook group, which is Watching With Friends. We're so excited to be talking about all of these really fun movies with you guys. And if you want to give us a message and maybe get featured on the podcast, please feel free to shoot us an email at watchingwfriendspod@gmail.com. And we are now on iTunes. I'm so excited for that. So if you could please listen and give us a review on whatever platform, but I'm just excited we're now on iTunes. And yeah, that is about it. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. We will see you next week. The hiatus is over, and I hope you have a great day. Bye. No.